Now, in the opening part of the meeting, I would like to read with you, please, from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 13. Perhaps before I read the scripture, it would be well for me to mention, in case there are those who are not acquainted, I'm sure most are, we know about the passing of our dear brother Maxwell, known to most here, funeral on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we would like to mention as well that our brother Albert Ramsey, known to many here, passed into the presence of the Lord at 6:30 this morning, Prince Edward Island time, and he's gone to be with Christ. Our brother had plans to be here, to be at the funeral of our brother Maxwell. Together they're in the glory now. He was up early in the morning this morning, wrote three letters, had them ready to go, had a cup of coffee, was reading his Bible at 6:30 in the morning, got down on his knees, as was his custom, at the usual chair to pray, and when his wife came out a little later, she found his head in his hands, and our dear brother gone into the presence of the Lord. Really a wonderful way to pass from this scene into the glory, a man who had served the Lord so well, and he's at home now with the Lord. Now we'll continue as we read together, please, in Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Now come with me, please, to the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now the last reading, please, in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. For time, we'll read, please, from verse 16. This is the prodigal son. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now God will bless these portions that we have read together, and we trust the few comments that we might make upon them in the opening part of our gospel meeting. What's upon my mind to notice with you, really as simply as I can tonight, is the fact that in Luke's Gospel chapter 13, we have brought before us the delay of the sinner. The sinner's delay. That is the idea of being warned and then of delaying repentance. When we come to Hebrews chapter 12, it's the sinner's dismay there, because here we have a man who wept, but he was too late for repentance. And then we have read of the sinner's determination in Luke chapter 15, and we trust there are some determined sinners in our meeting tonight, and we find the welcome of true repentance. And when there is true repentance, there is always a welcome that comes from the God of heaven. Now I understand that when we speak from Luke's Gospel chapter 13, and we're mentioning the fact of repentance, we have gone over this in some of the meetings in the past, that it's very important to understand that no sinner will ever get God's salvation until they have repented of their sin and come to know Christ as their Savior. There were those that we have read about here who came to the Lord Jesus, and they said, what about these folk Pilate mingled their blood with their sacrifice? They must have been worse than anybody else. And those upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and it slew them, they must have been worse than other people for such a catastrophe to happen to them. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the Lord Jesus certainly didn't mean you might die with a tower falling upon you, but he certainly meant this, that if you don't repent of your sin, you will die without Christ, without a Savior, and the possibility of perishing in your sins is desperate tonight, and you need Christ as your Savior more than anything else in the world. As we have said many, many nights past, you have a soul that is going to be in heaven above or in hell beneath for all eternity, and absolutely nothing else is worthwhile knowing except the fact that your soul is saved for eternity. There have been souls go out to meet God in this very city today. Many of them have passed into the great beyond, and they're gone into that beyond to either one place or the other, either heaven above or hell beneath. And so we would like to warn you tonight. And I believe that's why the Lord spoke this parable about the fig tree. Here was this fig tree planted in the vineyard, there to bring forth fruit, and there was no fruit upon it. These 3 years, he said, I come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. What was the fruit that the owner was looking for? He was looking for repentance. That's the kind of fruit that God is looking for. He's looking for repentance in the experience of men and women and boys and girls. When there is no repentance, God begins to deal with that individual, just like the owner of that vineyard was working with that tree, planted in such a favorable place that it might bring forth fruit. That was the one purpose of the tree, was that it might be fruitful. And because there was no fruit, there came that moment of edict when the owner said, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now I know that the Lord Jesus may have been referring to Israel, because for those 3 years the Lord in his public ministry dealt with Israel. He came unto his own, and his own received them not. There was nothing in the way of response from Israel to the Lord when he came. But, oh friend, tonight, the same is very true in connection with many in our gospel meeting. Here you are tonight, and you've heard the gospel time and time again. God has dealt with you in one way and another, sometimes under the solemn preaching of the gospel of Christ. Other times in circumstances of your life, different times and different places, perhaps in sickness, perhaps on a bed where you didn't know whether you're going to rise again, perhaps some accident that came across your experience, and you realize, I might have been in eternity. And God was dealing with you, just like this man that was trying to obtain fruit from this fig tree. He says, these 3 years I come seeking fruit and find none. Cut it down. Cut it down. After that, thou shalt cut it down. The dresser of the vineyard pleaded that tree off. Let it alone this year also. I wonder if there's some in our meeting tonight, and maybe a year ago or so, God was dealing with you about your soul. You knew very well you should get that matter settled. The Spirit of God said, let him alone, let her alone this year also, till I shall dig about that tree and try and fertilize it, try and do everything I can to get that tree to bring forth fruit. And God has been dealing with you time after time. And here, almost 6 weeks of gospel meetings have run their course, and God again has been dealing with you about your soul, and still outside of Christ. What does he say? After that, thou shalt cut it down. If it bear fruit, well. Oh, friend, what we're looking for tonight is for some sinner to admit their guilt to God. To admit, oh God, I am a guilty sinner, but I deserve judgment for my sin. But I see that there was one who died for me at Calvary. And here you are putting off the matter of your soul salvation another time. I wonder if God were to give that edict tonight. Cut him down. Cut her down. Why do they cumber the ground? Why, sometimes the idea of exhausting God's soil, an encumbrance on the earth, a grief and a heart sore oftentimes to Christians who have prayed and prayed and prayed that your soul might be saved, a stumbling block to sinners, others that might have got saved if you had got saved. Sometimes very stench in the nostrils of God. I wonder oftentimes that God is so merciful and God is so gracious. I wondered, even though I got saved at a younger age, I wondered that God put up with me for so long, but there came that time when I gave in to the dealings of God. And I bowed and acknowledged, oh God, I'm a guilty sinner. I deserve to be in hell. And I turned away to Calvary and saw one hanging on the tree in agony and blood. The man who died for sinners to put away their sin by the sacrifice of himself. Wonder if there a soul here tonight would look away to Calvary. There's one who died to save you. Paid redemption's price in full. God has been dealing with you. After that, thou shalt cut it down. Do you know this? We could tell you of gospel meetings, many, many places where the gospel was preached. And very soon after the gospel meetings were over, we got the sad news of a soul going out to meet God. I told you one night, just repeat it briefly, of a dear young man who sat in the back of a gospel meeting. Larger number there than this, perhaps 300 or 400 in that meeting. He with a row of young men sitting at the back. Trouble about his soul many times. His dear Aunt Elsie used to get after him and say, Norman, why don't you get this matter settled? And after that particular meeting, I made the comment that maybe in 2 or 3 months we would hear of someone who sat under the sound of the gospel being ushered out into eternity. And I didn't know, but just a few weeks later, I was having gospel meetings in the state of Iowa, and I got a phone call. They said, did you hear the news? I said, no, what news? Norman Trim was electrocuted. The big girder that he was holding hit the high wires, and he went out into eternity just in a moment. And I thought, well, God gave him warning time and time again. After that. I wonder, friend, how long God is going to wait for you. You've been troubled in the past. You've been thinking about it. You've been intending to get saved. There's many a soul in hell tonight who had intentions, who intended to get the matter settled, but they put it off. Men like Felix, who said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And all the time, judgment ahead. I want to tell you, friend, tonight we would like to warn you once more that there's danger ahead if you go on without the Savior. I remember reading about a time when war was on way back many years ago. One of the old Prussian wars. I think the French army was involved. and they were being besieged in the city. But some of the officers had decided they would have a night of gaiety. They thought there was lots of time. But there were fires beginning to burst out all over that city. But these young officers gathered together, and they got a number of the young women, and they began to have a real time of it, dancing and enjoying themselves. And as they were going on in the midst of their merriment, suddenly somebody looked out and they said, the building has caught on fire. It was an old palace that they were using. And what they didn't know that was down in the basement of that palace, there was a magazine where there was ammunition and where there was gunpowder and all that kind of thing. And somebody called out, the building is on fire. And they all stopped their merriment. And they decided they would get out, and they were beginning to move out when a young brash officer by the name of Carnot came in, and he called out, one more dance and defiance to the flames. And everybody seemed to catch the enthusiasm of the moment, and the band struck up again, and they started with one more dance. While that dance was going on, again they heard a voice raised. The building is on fire, and the magazine is underneath. And when they realized the danger, they stopped and they began to move out, but in those few moments, the magazine caught fire, and the building exploded. Young men and young women were ushered into eternity. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, danger is ahead. How quickly a soul can go out to meet God. You're here tonight in a measure of health and strength. We want to warn you that that time is coming when God, wearied with waiting, with patience exhausted, may have to say, cut them down, cut her down. Why do they cumber the ground? You've been let alone this year also, and perhaps your year has come to a close. This is the time. Oh, then be wise, thou wouldst be saved. Why not? Tonight, there's a man in the glory, and he bears the marks of Calvary. Those of us who have looked away to the bleeding, dying Lamb of God, we have seen him as the one who paid redemption's price in drops of precious blood. And tonight he's offering salvation to all who will simply come and believe, who will trust him as Savior. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, salvation could be yours tonight. I think of that young man that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12. And oh, the dismay of a young man who might have had a blessing, but he missed it. He sought it carefully with tears. And what was the trouble? He saw this birthright. He was careless about it. He didn't have any time for that which was his right. And my friend, there are those today, and they're living in this world. Maybe you're one of them. You're enjoying yourself. You're having your little fling in the world. And you forget that God has something eternal and blessing for you. But you're going to miss it. There's many a soul tonight, and they're weeping and wailing their folly. They wish they could be back where you are tonight and hear about a Savior who died for sinners and one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. This man, if we were to go back and think about the story of this man Esau, what was the difficulty? Despised his birthright. Too long out in the field. The field is like the world. Waited too long. And when he came in, the birthright had already been given to his brother. And if you read the scripture carefully, you'll find that as Jacob moved out of the tent where he had received the blessing from his father, Esau was moving in. And Esau came in. And his father said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Esau, your son. I brought the venison that you requested." The old father said, "The blessing is gone. Jacob has received the blessing." And oh, the wails of that man. "Bless me. Bless me, oh my father." And with tears, he cried. But it was too late for repentance. Too late for repentance. Oh, the dismay of sinners that wait too long and then miss the blessing that God could bestow upon them, wants to save you tonight. Why not make this the night of your choice for Christ? We read about that young man in Luke chapter 15. And I like to think of this man, and I've called it the sinner's determination. There came a time when that prodigal who had gone away from the father's house, maybe there's a prodigal here tonight, maybe there's one and long years you've been away from the father's home. I'm not speaking so much of your natural father, though that could be true as well, but I'm speaking about being away from the God who gave his son to die for you, and you haven't had time for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've had your fling in the world, and you've gone in for what you wanted to do. You've found it wanting and you've found it empty. But tonight, brings you here with a desire to know your sins forgiven. Here was this poor prodigal, down there in the far country. He spent all with riotous living. He had nothing left. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and nobody gave him anything. There he was, poor and destitute, and hungry, and needy, and dying. And it says he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go." And though that was the turning point, I wonder, is there one here tonight, and that's your language, "I will arise and go"? My friend, there's a Savior waiting for you, and he wants to save you tonight. I will. It's a matter of the will. You've heard the way of salvation. You know the story well. It's a matter of your will. When you're ready to say, "I will go," I want to tell you, friend, tonight there's a wonderful welcome awaiting you. Oh, the welcome of a true repentant sinner. A father's heart, a father's eye was downward bent upon that wayward son, waiting for his return. And I want to tell you tonight, friend, all heaven is waiting for the return of some prodigal here tonight. I wonder, is there one? And the language of your heart would be, "I will arise and go to my father." I want to tell you, there's a wonderful reception waiting for you if you come. Wonderful reception. I think I mentioned one night, some of the boys coming home after the war. We were down at the Canadian National Exhibition buildings when those men came in. My, they had gone away with their bright uniforms and their buttons shining and their shoes shining. Now they're coming back a bedraggled lot. And they pushed their way in through the door, and the place is cordoned off so the people wouldn't rush out in the middle, but ropes didn't mean anything. When those men began to stream into that building, why, it was a scene that I'll never forget. With the embraces and the weeping and the welcome that those men received, nobody could be restrained with ropes. They got over them and they got into the middle and they got a hold of loved ones who had been away for years, some of them 4 or 5 years away, and now they're back again, and what a welcome they receive. And I thought to myself, my, when a soul comes to Christ, what a welcome awaits them. Oh, there's a Savior waiting to save you, and there's a Father's heart that longs for your return. I will arise and go. Is there one here tonight? You'll make up your mind to come to Christ? I will. It's either I will or I will not. If you go out tonight without the Savior, you're saying no to the one who died for you on Calvary. We were down in Florida a while back. We were driving into the city. Forget the name of it just at the moment. We're going there for the meeting on Lord's Day morning, and I turned the radio on to hear the news. And just at that moment, there was a man landing in an aircraft at the airport. And they were saying on the radio, "You have to be careful coming into town. There'll be a lot of cars trying to get to the airport. If you're trying to come, we'd advise you to go by certain routes because of the traffic that you're going to encounter." This was the return of Norman Schwarzkopf coming back from the Middle East after the war in the Gulf. What a welcome as we listened there and we heard the shouts of people as he stepped off that aircraft. And he was welcomed back home again, a man who was a hero in the eyes of the people there. And I thought to myself, when a soul comes to Christ, what a welcome there is. All heaven rejoices. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And if there's a sinner here tonight, and the language of your heart is, "I will go." I will arise and go. I want to tell you, friend, there's a welcome awaiting you. The welcome mat is out. Salvation has been provided at infinite cost. By simple faith in the work of the Lord Jesus, you can come to know your sins forgiven. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Your sins can be put away tonight if you're willing to rest on the work that was accomplished at Calvary. God's word for it. He that believeth hath everlasting life. Salvation can be yours. Can be yours tonight. God help you as this meeting continues to make your choice for Christ. Don't put it off. Oh, it might be that like that fig tree, the edict will come forth, cut them down. Cut her down. Why do they cumber the ground? May God help you to flee to Christ tonight for his name's sake.